So there was this moment on Twitter last year where everyone I followed was switching their avatar to these wooden characters with like branches growing out of their noses and birds perched in their hair.
Yeah, that does sound familiar, but I don't know that I've seen much more of that since.
Well, while you haven't seen much, the project has still been active. In fact, they're just announced, much like Bored 8, that they'll be producing a short film with the creative studio Woodblock, very fitting, who has produced similar films with like Adidas, Netflix, Apple, lots more.
Okay, interesting. I love this generative art into blockbuster movie trend that we're seeing.
Yes, it is very cool. Now, I don't know if this is going to be a blockbuster movie. Right now, it's like a 3-minute short. But the team has some huge ambitions to bring their beloved wooden characters to life.
Okay, fascinating. But you haven't told us the name of the project yet.
Okay, I will. Let's just roll the intro first.
Welcome to Rocketship.fm.
Rocketship.fm is produced in partnership with Product Collective.
We are your hosts, Michael Sacca.
And I'm Mike Belsito.
This episode is sponsored by Porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, Whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's Porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today. Okay, so these beloved wooden characters are from the NFT collection Woodies.
Woodies. Okay, yeah, that was on the tip of my tongue before. I thought it was something like that.
Yes, it's a collection that was started by a DAO, actually, specifically the Ultra DAO, which it's a loose collective of NFT and art enthusiasts who formed to kind of collect culturally relevant NFTs and fund projects such as Woodies.
Okay, so they formed this DAO, began collecting NFTs, and then decided to build their own collection?
Exactly. Here, let me shoot you a link of everything that they've collected, actually, because it's all on the blockchain. And let me know if anything stands out.
All right. Okay, got it. And I can see
Okay, I could see a Dead Ringers. A lot of NFTs celebrating African heritage and history. I see a few Time Magazine mints, including an Amelia Earhart commemorative piece. Looks to be 96 pieces, including some Woodies. So, yeah. Okay, interesting stuff here.
Yeah, so it started as a way for these collectors to kind of pool their funds and buy artwork that they collectively appreciated. And out of that came the idea of Woodies. And I actually got a chance to sit down with one of their founders, Richard.
I do a bit of everything. I would just... title would be just put like community and marketing, or marketing and community manager. It's probably just the easiest.
So how did he describe Woodies?
Well, funny you ask.
So Woodies is a generative project that was incubated in a DAO that I'm a part of, which is UltraDAO. And UltraDAO is a DAO for artists by artists. And basically last year we got together with the idea of Woodies, and basically we have created this project that surrounds like the storyline of the characters in the Woodies world, and you know, it's all about the storytelling and bringing the community along on that journey, and we also have kind of an environmental impact focus as well, and we try to like actively encourage the community to head outdoors and switch off from time to time. So it's very much kind of focused on community, environment, and this kind of storytelling. That was probably like the three main pillars of the Woodies project.
So each NFT project has a different community focus. With Bored Ape, it's like access to an exclusive club with huge parties and celebrities. For Cameo, it's access to events like the one that you intended in LA with influencers like Stanley from The Office.
Yeah, or like DJ Khaled. He was at the Cameo party in Miami just about a week ago. But for Woodies?
It's a community focused on outdoor activities and getting offline, actually. So people who are passionate about like offsetting the negative environmental impacts that we're collectively causing. Honestly, it just sounds like a group of really nice people.
So a huge part of our project is definitely focused on the community. So before we even launched, we had this kind of community engagement where people were encouraged to switch off and go outside and, you know, be in nature and stuff. And people really resonated with that. So we wanted to make sure with our in-person events, that's what they were kind of, they were focused on those same principles. So we had some community initiatives pop up. So we had one back in February where some community members in Southern California got together and went hiking together. So, you know, a bunch of Woodies holders, you know, going hiking. And not this weekend, but next weekend is Earth Day. And that weekend in North Carolina, a community member is putting together a camping trip, so a camping weekend. So those are just two that have popped up already. And we've just hired an event manager to oversee kind of the official Woodies weekends and get-togethers. So more of that will come from us officially on the team, as well as these community-led initiatives as well. And the idea really there is just to provide value in a physical sense, in a in-person, with in-person events and activities, because this is what our community kind of really enjoy and really want to see. So there's kind of that element of the project, and, you know, it encompasses the rest of the family. It's a family friendly project. So, you know, you know, you're more than likely going to go on these, you know, hikes or these weekends away with your family, with your kids or whatever.
So family-friendly events, hikes, I could definitely get into that.
Yeah, it's refreshing, honestly. As much fun as it is to go to these, you know, big blowout events, we need these types of groups too for balance in our lives.
Yeah, and this is not a nonprofit or anything like that. I mean, these are serious collectors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, who also enjoy the outdoors, going offline, but this is one of the perks of Woodies today.
Right, so how did it all get started?
Yeah, so we were part of a DAO. And like I say, it's UltraDAO, and it's a DAO for artists by artists. So everyone in there has their skills and their experience and their knowledge and things like that. And you know, around July last year was when DAOs were becoming kind of common topic of discussion. And I was invited to it. So I joined and didn't really know what I was signing up for. So I kind of just jumped in and thought, you know, a community of like-minded individuals is always great. And at the time there was 111 of us in the DAO. And it was just, you know, a place where, you know, we can support one another, talk about projects and drops and all that's going on in the NFT space. And as a DAO, through the community wallet, we were buying pieces of artwork, artwork that was like of cultural importance, other things that had like significant moments in the NFT space. So really just kind of collecting artwork. And then basically one of the community members and who ended up also being on the team as well, Lucrèche, basically said that he wanted to put on a 10K generative PFP project with the idea of selling planks of wood. And with the money from the proceeds of the sale, he would buy a house for his family. So kind of was a joke, kind of how it started. We were all kind of like, oh, you know, that would be kind of funny. And then people started making jokes and people then started sketching like ideas and throwing them out with these planks of wood with traits and stuff. And it snowballed very quickly because after like a little bit of time chatting and people sharing their work, we were like, well, why don't we look at like seriously putting this together? Because as a DAO, having that many people and having that many creatives in the DAO, we were like, well, we're fully equipped to put something like this together and to do it well. And like I say, within I think like a week and a half, 2 weeks, we had fully kind of got ourselves organized, set up some roles and put out like a somewhat of a casting call in the DAO, and people could submit to join the project, to join Woody specifically. And once we kind of locked down some of the ideas of who was doing what kind of role, we had like a 2 week phase where it was art concepting. And the idea was there just to really kind of just throw more ideas out and see what we land on. And one of the other artists on the team, J838, he sort of put together these humanoid wooden creatures that you see in the final collection here. And everyone immediately, as soon as we saw them, we were like, yes, this is the kind of the direction that we're going in.
So this was truly a community effort.
Yeah, it's funny how these jokes within a community kind of bubble up to become these full-fledged projects. It reminds me kind of like the Constitution DAO and how it initially gained traction.
And then externally through Nicolas Cage memes.
That's right. Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
So before the break, we were discussing the origins of the Woody's NFT collection.
Richard, one of the founders of the project, was kind enough to sit down with us a couple weeks ago and give us kind of a peek behind the scenes.
And before the break, he was discussing the origins of the project, which started as a bit of a joke within the community, but quickly gained enough traction that they started collaborating on it.
And now they're getting close to the idea that would become Woody's as we know them today.
We had Gossamer, who also is one of our artists as well, goes by Grilesian, and she kind of led the art direction, the art team, through kind of putting everything together. So that was kind of how it started and how it formed, and it was the first kind of collaborative project to come out of the DAO. And you know, the DAO is busy getting structured and organized and ready to take new members, and with the idea, once we open that up to new members, we want to kind of start using the tools that we have and the experience and knowledge that we have now to kind of incubate other projects and other ideas, not necessarily like another 10K or anything like this, but just, you know, some other ideas and stuff.
I saw they were actually releasing an Ultra DAO pass, similar to Kevin Rose's Proof, that would grant people access to the DAO and give them voting rights on future projects.
Yeah, I'd expect to see that soon, honestly.
Now, with every project, there's usually some sort of roadmap, right?
Yep, and as PMs, we know the roadmap is also evolving over time, and the timing we originally set for a project, it often takes longer.
Yeah, usually just times it by three? I don't know.
Yeah, I believe that's scientifically accurate, actually. So for the roadmap, they first needed to set aside funds to execute on it.
So we put a large proportion of our earnings from the sale back into UltraDAO's own bank, so into the DAO bank. And that was kind of used to, you know, fund the project moving forward, because we were very conscious that we needed to make sure we had money available to develop and to build. So I can't remember off the top of my head the specific amount, but, you know, it was a large proportion of the initial sale was put back into the DAO to fund everything that we're building.
And then they needed to decide what would make it on the roadmap and when those items would be delivered to Woody's holders.
In terms of getting kind of organized, we had a timeline and kind of phases, and we kind of knew when we wanted to do stuff and when, where and when. But as we kind of had never done this kind of a project, we didn't quite realize the intricacies of putting some of these things together and the length of time. And with things like COVID and global shipping issues, all sorts of factors we hadn't kind of considered, it's kind of fragmented that roadmap. So they are still, you know, very valid points that we're working on. Just the timeline is more fluid just because it's more realistic. And we were very cognizant of that fact right at the, like after we launched, that things would take longer than we had anticipated. So we set up these weekly campfire councils that happen on a Thursday, where we invite the community to come and talk to the team. We basically give the community an opportunity once a week to come in and listen to what's happened in the previous week. And it's also kind of when we drop new information, maybe some sneak peeks and things. But the real idea of it was to basically invite the community in and give them a realistic view and really to just set the expectation levels of the community of what's going to happen and when, and then why things are maybe taking longer than others, why some things have been delayed until something else has been done. Because then that way they kind of, they hear that you are building and you are working on it. It's just realistically, it's not possible to do it in like 2 weeks. So we've been very fortunate to have a supportive community, a very patient community. And I think they really see the long-term value in the project, and, you know, they're excited for what's to come. So we've definitely learned with roadmaps, you know, you kind of have to have things a little bit fluid, a little bit loose. And it's best to really just keep an open communication with the community to like really just reinforce that this is being worked on and it will be worth the wait.
So you take the roadmap, you times it by three. It works every time.
Okay, let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
So before the break, we were discussing the Woody's roadmap and how they manage communication within the community so that everyone understands why certain items on it, they may be taking longer than originally anticipated.
It's just like product management, except in this case, you have what? 10,000 stakeholders?
Yep, it sounds like a recurring nightmare, actually. You wake up in a cold sweat and you're like, oh, phew, I only have 7 stakeholders today, thank God.
Now, these hikes in the woods, that's not all the team's been working on from what I understand, right?
No, it's much bigger than that.
The other huge part of the project is on the entertainment side. So we're obviously building this huge kind of world with all of these characters. We're telling this really rich story of the Woodies. And, you know, we're working on different mediums to showcase that storyline. And we've actually got this month and next month, some creator tools that will be coming out. And essentially what they are is we see the value in co-creation and kind of supporting the community to create content around the Woodies, because they own the rights to their particular Woodies. And what we find with a lot of the projects is they give you those rights, but there's no framework of kind of how to use them. And for a lot of people, they kind of need a little bit of structure, a little bit of support. So we sort of identified that a huge unlock of our project would be to provide those tools and then to kind of support the community to develop those and kind of tell the story of their own Woodies. So there's some tools coming out, like I say, in the next few weeks that will have various incentives to encourage the community members either to do it on their own or to band together and create content around the Woodies themselves. So we definitely see value in that, because that's going to have then value for the individual holder. If you then go on to create, you know, a brand or a product or a storyline around your own Woody.
So this sounds a lot like the Bored Ape series project, where holders have the chance to pitch their ape to producers and even decide some of the factors that make it its personality.
Exactly. Holders have the opportunity to build the brand value of their individual characters, thus increasing the value of that character, sometimes of Woody's as a whole.
All right. So what I'm really curious about is, what is it like behind the scenes on a project like this? Like, what are they actually working on each day? What are the things that they struggle with?
Yeah, I asked Richard this and he had an interesting answer.
I would say on the community side is expectation management. I think it's not talked about enough is people often, once a project drops, expects, you know, there to be a 3D metaverse movie, you know, books and candle series, merch, everything ready to go after the first 2 weeks. And we were very fortunate that we had our weekly core character raffles for holding the mint passports for like the 9-10 weeks after launch. So that kind of almost distracted the community while we were building. But I think a lot of projects struggle with community expectations just because this space moves so fast. People want things immediately. And if it's not delivered within a couple of weeks, they kind of lose interest or they lose trust and stuff. So I think just not just for Woody's, but I just see this in general for the space, is kind of expectation management is a real challenge that people have to work with. And I think at some point, if you are persistent enough and dedicated enough, you finally hit like a threshold where you've been around long enough, people have seen that you've been building, and then they kind of get it. They understand that you're building something bigger. I had a call earlier today where the guy was like, oh, you know, Woody's has been around for like 7 months now. That's like an OG club. And I haven't thought about it, but it's true. We've been building and growing for 7 months. It's a good amount of time for the NFT space.
And then on the build side.
On the build side is just the sheer speed at which everything moves. If we just take, for example, our merch drop that we did, you know, we wanted to make a merch drop that had, you know, sustainability and like an eco-conscious side to it. So trying to source the right clothing, the right suppliers, making sure that everything was, you know, well thought through, just to get this drop to the like release date, had taken, you know, almost 3-4 months longer than we had initially planned. And that's because we're working in the Web3 space when things move so fast, but then you kind of have to also then go back and work with, you know, traditional brands and companies. And then they tell you, oh, it could take 4 months to produce this. And you're like, what? You know, the project will be something else by then. So on a founder and a kind of project builder side of things, bridging that gap between kind of Web2 and Web3 is a challenge in itself, because there's the expectation management there. You know, you're moving at lightning speed on one side and you know, not quite as quick on the other. So those are challenges. Pacing and expectations, I would say.
That's really interesting. I mean, we keep hearing about the speed of Web3.
Yeah, it's almost scary, honestly. So it's one of the reasons we see so many projects either not make it to mint or completely flop after mint.
I think sometimes some projects haven't thought that far ahead. You've got their blinders on, and all they're looking at is getting to the mint date, and then they launch and let's just say it's successful and they sell out. And then it's like, oh, now what do we do? And it's a completely different game once you are past mint. Once you're past that public sale, it's a different ball game altogether. And you are not prepared for it. Definitely not. And it takes it takes a lot of hard work and effort. And I think some people are just not prepared for it. And they don't think about the long-term implications of what they're setting up.
And then we turn to discuss the intrinsic value of an NFT.
The NFT is an unlock. And the question is, what is it unlocking? Because that's the thing that you need to make sure you know what that is, so that when you are building this project, you know how to, you know, direct that project and help it grow, knowing what that NFT unlocks. And I think more just talking in general about the space, I think we're very much all about kind of, you know, digital and metaverse. And I think that's been really propelled just because of our current situation with the pandemic and people being locked at home and lockdowns and unable to see family or travel. And I think that's really helped kind of catapult the space into the where it is, you know, in such a short space of time. But I think as we start to come out of that and things start to kind of improve, people want to still be engaged in the space, but they'll also want to have, you know, those in-person experiences. So I really feel that, yes, there's Web 2 and there's Web 3, but I feel like most people will not want to jump from one to the other. It'll be more like this transition between 2 and 3, whereas like 2.5, you know. And if you can kind of position your project there by offering, you know, a leg in both sides, you're going to be in a better position to build the brand and maintain it long term, and kind of just, like you say, create this lifestyle brand where, you know, you can be part of both sides, depending on you as a community member, where your kind of interests lie. Because maybe for myself, for example, I'm not big into going into the metaverse at the moment, because I'm not sure what you do there. So for me, the idea of getting together and going hiking is awesome. I'm like, sign me up.
The NFT is an unlock. Changes the mission a bit from art collecting to community building or experience building, whatever that unlock might be.
It's a great big world. Honestly, Woody's has kind of changed my view of NFTs a bit, from the overhyped projects, the huge parties, to something that really could support a community of, I don't know, outdoor enthusiasts, right? Who want to get their families together for a hike on the weekends.
Yeah. Well, I love the story here, Michael. And that does about do it for this week. Now, we're going to have more on this series about Web3 next week. In fact, you're going to hear a little bit about how I may have convinced my wife to let us take a significant portion of our net worth and try to go hard at an NFT, a single NFT. But that's next week, and we'll get into it then. So for Michael Sacca, I'm Mike Belsito, and this is Rocketship.fm.
Thank you so much for listening to Rocketship.fm. It is your support that keeps the show going. If you can, take a second and leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. It helps out the show so much. We're also part of the Podglomerate Network, and if you'd like to listen to more great shows from the Podglomerate, go to thepodglomerate.com to see the full show listings.
Rocketship.fm is produced in partnership with Product Collective, a community for product people. Go to productcollective.com and get access to our weekly newsletter, live video interviews, Slack community, product job board, and a whole lot more. Again, just go to productcollective.com.